Jesus made all that possible for us to be a part of the family. Thank God to be a part of that family of God. Amen. Wonderful. Amen. Thank you, ladies, for singing, the choir for singing. I'm glad today we serve a living Savior and that we get to come to the house of God and worship together as a family of God. Then if you're not a part of the family of God, my heart's desire is that you will today become a part of that family. You say, can I get in on it today? You sure can. I'm glad today is the day of salvation. You can come to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and your Savior. If you will do that, God will save you, and you can be born in the family of God. I want you to turn your Bibles, please, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Again, let me say while you're turning there, pardon me, it's good to see everyone that's here today. Certainly, it's a joy to see people that's come out and be here on this Sunday morning, and I praise God for your presence and appreciate and do not take it lightly that you're here, and thank God for your presence. All right, you pray for us while we endeavor to share what God's laid on our hearts that we may share with you this morning. 1 Corinthians in chapter 15, let's look at verse number 12. We'll begin reading there. Ask you to stand, please, while we read the Word of God. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you there is no resurrection of the dead? There were some who were saying in that day and that there was no resurrection. Paul was a gentle man, compassionate man, but when it come to doctrine, he can get pretty straight and hard with them. One time he rebuked Peter openly for his dissimulation of what he did and where he stood on the doctrines. And here Paul is, he's facing this false doctrine that there is no resurrection. He's hitting it head on. And listen to what he said. He said, some of you, among you say there's no resurrection of the dead. But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. Your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. Ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. That's a sad thought, isn't it? And if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now, hallelujah, but now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming. Let's bow our heads, please, and pray. Ask God to help us here today as we look at this scripture. Father, we truly bow our heads and humble our hearts before you to say thank you. I praise you, Lord, for the singing of the songs, that we can come to the house of God with our family of God and worship here in this place. I thank you, Lord, that today we can come and pray in the name of a living Savior, a living mediator, one that paid the price at Calvary, rose from the dead, and is alive forevermore. I'm going to bow my head and humble my heart and say thank you and praise you for the reality of that great truth. Now here today, as we endeavor to preach, we need that divine touch of God. I pray the Holy Spirit would help us to think and empower us to preach. And Father, help us physically, spiritually, emotionally, in every way to be that instrument in the hand of God, that you may use us today for your glory, and that the risen Christ may be exalted And then I pray for those who know not him, those who are here that are lost. And Lord, they're not aware of the reality of that risen Christ. I pray today the Holy Spirit brings such conviction to them that they come to know Jesus Christ. And let the living Savior be their Savior, their Lord, and be saved. I pray for every unsaved in the house. May real conviction be there today. Then I pray, God, you'd help those who've been saved and that the joy has been left behind and somewhere something's happened. And Father, I pray in Jesus' name that they'd realize today the joy can be there because the Savior has not changed. He still lives and able to help them. I pray you'd help all of us draw closer to you in this day to praise the name of a living Savior. It's in Jesus' name and for his glory that we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to look with me, please, in verses. Well, let's look at verse number 1 of this chapter. Chapter 15, verse 1, and read through verse 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved by that gospel that he preached. If we keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. I am glad for the death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, that is the gospel. He died, he buried, and he arose. I am glad for it. Amen. So I'm not a Greek scholar, so I have to go by what I've read on this, but I understand that in the Greek, in the tense of he died, past tense, he died, and buried, past tense, but it's a perfect tense in the fact of his resurrection. He rose and is still alive. He died, but he didn't stay dead. He was buried, but didn't stay buried. But he rose, and thank God he still lives. Amen. I praise God that he died. I know he had to die for our sin. He paid the penalty for sin is death. And Jesus paid the penalty in full. But then he was buried. But thank God he rose from the dead and walked out victorious, conquering death, hell, and the grave. I say hallelujah for that. And praise God for the reality of it. I want to preach today on this subject, assurance. The resurrection of Christ brings three things that it brings assurance because he rose from the dead. Number one, it brings assurance to me. Well, let me back up just a minute. Let's talk about Easter just a minute. Now we'll get into that assurance. Just an introduction. Easter, in fact, is a Chaldean word. And it comes from Ishtar, who was called Queen of Heaven. And that's where all that comes from in paganism. But we're not, and I know we use the word Easter, and I know the word Easter is used in Scripture. I understand that. But really the origin of that, what we really are celebrating today is resurrection of a living Savior. One, the Son of the living God that paid the price at Calvary and died. And the story goes that in Germany during a famine that a widow woman hid some colored eggs for her children to find because they were hungry. And when they found them, a rabbit jumped out. And so they rabbits got started with, what in the world the rabbits got to do with the resurrection of Jesus? Absolutely nothing. And what eggs has to do with it? Bunny rabbits down in Egypt have been a symbol of fertility for thousands of years. But that's not what we're talking about today. We're not talking about that kind of a thing. We're talking about a resurrection of the living Savior. We're here to worship him, amen, and adore him. And I praise God for the reality of that living Christ that lives today and lives in my heart. And so we're thinking about Christmas. Praise God, it's not Christmas. Amen. And this is what we call Easter, but it's Resurrection Day. And I want to plug this in while I'm on it. We remember the resurrection of Christ every day, but especially every Lord's Day, first day of the week. That's why we come to church on Sunday, is because he rose the first day of the week. And the Old Testament, they went church, as it were, synagogue and the temple on Saturday, because there they were before the cross. We're after the cross, and Jesus Christ died, rose on the first day, and so we worship on Sunday, and that's our day of worship. I praise God for Sunday. Every Sunday is a good day. Amen. And I praise God. Today we remember this in a special way, brings our attention to it, and attention is drawn to this day. So I felt led of God that we look at this and talk about assurances that the resurrection brings. Jesus is the Savior. How do you know he is? Because he rose from the dead. Had he not rose from the dead, he couldn't save us. Amen. But he rose from the dead. Romans 1:25 says, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. The resurrection had to take place for him to be the one that would justify us and be our Savior. Now, in the Old Testament, there's a whole lot of scripture given toward the prophecy of his coming and of his death and burial and resurrection. Talks about his birth, in fact, and the virgin birth, and Isaiah talked about, and then talked about his death. Isaiah 53 tells about his death. What a chapter of crucifixion that really is. In fact, he is. Philip took it and preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, and he got saved. Amen. And so we see all that given. Then the psalmist talked about would not let him see corruption, and that was there. And I praise God for the resurrection. All the Old Testament, what it says, and prophecies fulfilled. In the New Testament, an angel proclaimed his birth. Thank God for that. And not only his birth, but the birth of John the Baptist, who was a forerunner. And then Jesus lived a sinless life. He raised some dead folk from the dead. He unstopped deaf ears. He let blinded eyes see. He calmed storms. He walked on water. He did all that and all that. But that's not what he said that really proved who he was. And miracle after miracle was done. A life that no other life ever lived close to. But I want you to look with me in Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter number 12. And verse number 38. Then certain, well, let me give you time to find that. Matthew chapter 12 and verse number 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Amen. He said, no sign is going to be given. It's all the miracles, not a sign of what he said, who I am. And all that was good and have a part of it. But he said, what really is going to stand out is the fact I'm going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and then I'm coming out. That's the sign. Amen. He said, I'm going to prove who I am. I'm going to prove that I am the Savior, because I am going to die for sin. I'm going to be buried. I'm going to raise the third day. Look in John chapter number 2. John's Gospel chapter 2 and verse number 18. John 2, verse number 18. By the way, hold on to that fact that he said 3 days and 3 nights I'd be in the heart of the earth. I'll just plug this in while I'm at it. You can't get 3 days and 3 nights and crucify him on Friday. Amen. I'm a dumb country boy, but I know Friday and Sunday, you can't get 3 days and 3 nights and get him resurrected on Sunday morning. Amen. In fact, is he probably resurrected sometime after 6 o'clock on Saturday evening, because their day, Jewish day, started 6 o'clock. First day of the week started at 6 o'clock in the evening on Saturday. And it was still dark when they got there at the tomb on Sunday morning. He's already up from the dead. The grave was already empty. Amen. I'm not going to argue the point when he got up. I'm just telling you, he got up. Amen. He got up in 3 days and three nights. He was in the heart of the earth. He said, well, he's talking about had to take him down for the Sabbath. It was during the Passover season. And Passover is a special day and considered a Sabbath day. So whenever that day fell on, it could have been the day before that. And so you figure it up. And I'm not going to argue about what day it was, but I'm just going to tell you that he died on the cross of Calvary, was buried, and he said, I was in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights, and then got up. And John chapter 2, verse 18. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. And then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, and they believed the scriptures and the word which Jesus had said. He said, I'm going to give you a sign. He said, destroy this temple in 3 days. I'm going to bring it back. And that's exactly what he did. And he died on the cross of Calvary. And 3 days and three nights in the heart of that, in paradise, he preached the saints in prison. And then he came out. Remember, he told the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. And by the way, paradise was in the heart of the earth during that time. But Christ emptied out paradise after his resurrection and took them on to glory. Hey, Old Testament saints never said they went to heaven. It always said they were gathered to their own people, gathered in paradise. But when Jesus Christ died and rose from the dead, he emptied out paradise and took him on to heaven. Now, in the New Testament, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I say hallelujah. How do you know that Jesus is a Savior? Because he rose from the dead. Amen. As an assured thing. I know that he's a Savior. I know he's capable of saving. I know that he is my Lord and Savior because he rose from the dead, conquered death, hell, and the grave, and walked out victorious. And thank God he lives today. And I praise his name and thank him for that. Now that assures me of the second thing. That's my salvation. I'm assured that I'm saved because he rose from the dead. I'm assured that I'm saved today. You can't be saved without that. Absolutely impossible. Look here in the scripture. I love this. Now in the first if he used in verse 12. He said, now if Christ be preached. Now that's a true statement. Christ was preached. They rose from the dead. But then he starts in verse 15. Paul uses this way of argument many times. But here he says, but if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ not risen. He said, now, I've already preached to you that Christ rose from the dead. If there's not a resurrection, then Christ didn't raise. Verse 14, if Christ be not risen, then preach in vain, your faith's vain. He said, there's nothing to it. And if that's not so. In verse 15, and the latter part of that said, if so be that the dead rise not. Again, that word if. Verse 16, for if the dead rise not, then it's not Christ risen. He's emphasizing it again. If the dead don't rise, then Christ not risen. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. No salvation without it. And if it's life only, we have hope, we've all been most miserable. But look at verse 20. And he really hits it hard. But now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them who slept. He would not stay dead. Amen. I love that poem that Brother Willard Thomas wrote. Fact is, I copied it this morning. I'm going to read it to you. I can't read it like he does it, but I'm going to read it to you anyhow because he wouldn't stay dead. They laid his body in Joseph's new tomb and filled his disciples with sorrow and gloom. They did not remember what he had said, that he would die, but he wouldn't stay dead. Amen. Now he died, but he wouldn't stay dead. Mary came at the break of day and found the stone was rolled away. She saw an angel in terror fled and told the disciples that he didn't stay dead. In that cold, dark tomb, he would not stay. He conquered death and walked away. Now the old grave has lost its fear and dread. He lives again. He wouldn't stay dead. Full atonement and pardon were made, and forever the sin debt is marked fully paid. The price was his blood as it flowed crimson red. I'm thankful today that he wouldn't stay dead. Let's go to our churches and cry aloud. Let's go to the marketplace and talk to the crowd. Let's go to the mission fields that lie up ahead and tell the whole world he didn't stay dead. I say hallelujah. He didn't stay dead. He wouldn't stay dead. And thank God he didn't stay dead. And today I'm glad that he rose from the dead. And he lives and was delivered for our offenses, raised again for our justification. Amen. And aren't you glad he was? I'm glad, praise God, declared to be the Son of God with the power, amen, of resurrection. I'm glad declaring that. I'm glad he offered our raised again. I'm thankful for all of that. In fact, as the Bible said in Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you don't believe that in your heart, you're not saved. If you don't really believe that Christ rose from the dead, I'm not talking about a spiritual resurrection. I'm talking about a literal resurrection. He literally, same body that he laid down, got up. Amen. Fact is, he told Thomas, he said, reach into your finger and put it in the prints. Thrust your hand in my side and touch me and feel me. It's me. That body that was crucified and died, he got up. Amen. He did not see corruption. He got up. Corruption couldn't even get a hold of him. Death couldn't hold him, and corruption couldn't get a hold at all. And thank God he just got up and walked out. Victorious and has the keys of hell and death now. I say praise God. I am sure that I'm saved because he rose from the dead. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession of them. In Hebrews 7:25. I'm glad he's a only mediator, and he is a living mediator. He sits at the right hand of God. In Romans 10:12 says, but this man by one sacrifice for sins forever and sat down at the right hand of God. Now, you can't sit down laying in a tomb. Amen. He had to get up and raise my dead, ascend back to the Father, and sit down at the right hand of God to be our mediator. He's a living Savior. And so, therefore, today, I'm assured that I'm saved, and as you are, that you're sitting where you sit in this congregation today. I'm sure I'm saved as I am that I'm breathing air. Amen. I'm sure I'm saved today because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. No question about it. He rose, he rose. They sang that song today. Thank God these Holy Ghost chills run up and down my spine. I said hallelujah and praise God and the Lamb forever. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive. He didn't stay dead. He got up, he didn't die, but he got up and rose from the dead. Now, you remember when Lazarus raised from the dead, he still had grave clothes on. And Jesus said, loose him, let him go. You know why he had grave clothes on? Because he's going to need them again. But Jesus got up. He found his grave clothes laying in the tomb. They found a napkin his head was wrapped in. They found the clothes he's in. And all of it wrapped up, folded up, laid in the tomb. But he wasn't there. I say hallelujah. He left them behind because he's never going to need them again. He's alive forevermore. I say today, I'm sure I'm saved because my Savior lived. If my Savior laid somewhere in a tomb and bones would land somewhere, I'd have no hope. But thank God he rose from that. Now, there's a third thing I want to share with you quickly. I'm assured of the fact that he's a Savior because he rose from the dead. He conquered. He said he was who he was, proved it by his resurrection. Then I'm sure he's my Savior because he rose from the dead. But I'm sure today that I'll be raised from the dead because he lives. Hallelujah. Amen. Some in that day were saying there's no resurrection of the dead. Some today in our day are saying there's no resurrection of the dead. That was just like a dog or a cat or a cow or a horse. When you die, you're gone. That's it. Well, that's not so. When we die, that's not it. Amen. Now look in verse 23. And every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and after they are Christ at his coming. I am sure of the resurrection. In John chapter 14 and verse 19, Jesus said, because I live, ye shall live also. Hallelujah. I believe that, amen. Jesus said to Martha there at the tomb of Lazarus in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Amen. I believe, amen, I'll never die in Christ Jesus. I'm going to have a resurrected body. I may be absent from this body and be present with the Lord, but if I'm absent out of this body, don't you tell anybody I'm dead. You tell him he exited out and went home with being Jesus, but his body's going to be resurrected one day, and I will have a resurrection. How you know you will? Because he rose. He promised me. He conquered death, and he rose in a glorified body. Then I have the promise that I too shall raise from the dead. And I'm glad there is a resurrection. Paul's saying that crowd there, if there be no resurrection, Christ didn't raise. And we're all without hope. It's all vain. We might as well shut the doors and go to the house. But thank God he rose from the dead. He did die and did raise. And now I know I'll be resurrected one day. I say glory to God. Aren't you glad one day you're going to be resurrected? This old flesh you give away. And this old body of sin and corruption and all the aches and pains and sorrows and heartache, all that's going to be behind. We're going to be resurrected in glorified body. Hallelujah. I like it. Amen. I like it. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. That means something not been shown before. Hid, as it were. We shall not all sleep. When he talks about sleep, he's not talking about soul sleep. Bible knows nothing about soul sleep. He mentioned about death for the child of God as being asleep. The body, but not the soul. Soul, spirit, be absent from the body, be present with the Lord. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Even if we're living when Jesus comes, we'll still get a resurrected body, just like those who went through the grave. For this corruptible, now listen to this in verse 53. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in work of the Lord, for as much as you know your labor is not in vain in the Lord. I say hallelujah. I'm glad he promised me I'd get resurrected body and be this mortal, put on immortality, this corruptible, put on incorruption. I want to say hallelujah. I'm glad it's real that I'm going to be resurrected one day like unto him. And I say glory, hallelujah. 1 John 3 talked about, beloved, now we're the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is, and I say hallelujah. We're going to see him as he is. I have assurance of that. I don't have doubts about it. I don't have to worry about it. Now, this may not happen. No, it will happen. How do you know it will happen? Because he rose from the dead. How do you know you're saved? Because he rose from the dead. How do you know he's a Savior? Because he rose from the dead. I have assurances because he rose from the dead. What about you today? What about you today? If you died right now, where would you go? Let me say this quickly to you, that everybody in this house, you'd either go to heaven or hell, one or the other. Rich man, Luke 16, died and in hell lifted up his eyes, being in torments. Lazarus carried by angels in Abraham's bosom, but that was in paradise. Paradise now in heaven. Presence of God. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. If you're saved, born again, you'd wake in heaven. If you're not saved, you'd wake in hell. You say, preacher, we don't want to think about hell here on Easter Sunday morning? I think we need to. He rose. He died. He rose so you wouldn't have to go to hell. I'm not talking about being a church member. I'm talking about being saved. I'm talking about coming in contact with a living Savior. I'm talking about letting a living Savior come into your heart and your life and be your Savior and your Lord. I'm talking about really being saved. Do you know Him? Do you know He lives in your heart? If you don't, you can today by repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then some sitting here today, your life don't have the joy, don't have the thrill God wants you to have. Not excited about the things of God as you once were. Cooled off, backed up. Need to come. Say, Lord, on this day, I remember You rose from the dead. I want You to help me get up out of this mess I'm in and help me live my life for God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Nobody's looking but myself and God. I'm not going to embarrass anyone. I'm not going to come to anybody. I'm not going to try to make an issue and try to make anybody do anything. I'm going to try to help you. I want to help you. I want to do my best to help you today. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed all over the house. Some have come already praying. They're praying. But nobody else is looking. I wonder how many in this house could honestly say beyond a shadow of a doubt, preacher, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead, I know that He's my Savior and my Lord. Raise your hand up high for the glory of God. I know that. I know that. Praise God. That's good. That's good. Thank you. All over the house, I saw hands go up. I saw people acknowledging the fact that they're saved and they know it. Praise God for the reality of it. But you today that could not raise your hands, I didn't try to look at everybody, but I noticed just glancing over the house, there's some that did not raise their hand. You that did not raise your hand is being saved. If you're not saved, you're lost. Lost. The Savior, the living Savior, is not your Savior, not your Lord in your heart. But He wants to be and can be if you'll let Him. I wonder if today if you would say, preacher, would you just pray for me that God will help me? I'm unsaved. I'm lost. Would anybody slip her hand up quickly over the house? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. Father, I pray today You'd help everybody here do what we know we ought to do. You know who's lost. You know who's saved. And you know who's right with God, who's not. You know who's living in victory, who's not. This resurrection, as we remember the day, Father, thank You for the reality of the living Savior. I pray, men and women, boys and girls, we think seriously about what we just preached. And I pray the Holy Spirit make it real in hearts. We'll thank You for what You do in Jesus' name. Amen.